une mixture de la sueur de mon front et la poussière des ennemis qui ont voulu pousser les affronts. Ajoute-y l'intensité, la volonté, et tu comprends pourquoi mon masque est fermenté. J'ai trop subi en voulant...
One day. are listening to STEMinism with CKUT. This is 90.3 FM. It is currently Friday, January 19th, 5:05 p.m. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're really excited to have you here for our January monthly show of STEMinism.
So on today's topic, we're going to be talking about something that's interesting and kind of, how do we say, a very popular topic, and that is the topic of illusions. So what do you guys know about illusions, or like what are your favorite illusions?
So there's this a competition every year called, I think it's like the illusion, it's the Illusion of the Year contest, and they have some really cool illusions. And if you go onto that website, if you Google it, you can see lots of really cool illusions that a lot of people will submit each year. And the one that won for 2023 was someone basically like made a video of what looks like a wall. Uh-huh. And then they drove like a little toy car through the wall, and it looks like it goes straight through the wall. But uh-huh. It turns out half the wall is just drawn on the floor. Oh. And the rest is actually built, but it's so like the way that the wall is drawn is so perfectly like in line with the real wall that it literally looks like the car is driving straight through the wall, and it's all about perspective.
Oh wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a really cool website too. Like they have so many illusions and a lot of ones that, like, I think they've been going since 2007. They've been having this contest uh-huh. every year. It's a really cool website to kind of go look at all of the different applications or like applicants and the illusions that they've come up with over the years. It's like really creative to what people have come up with.
That's very interesting. So are they all like kind of visual illusions? Like are they all of a visual format, like either a picture or a video, or do they have other types of illusions as well?
Yeah, so I would say probably 99% of them are visionary, like vision illusions. Uh-huh. I was looking for some auditory illusions that had won previously to play on the show, and I could only find one, and it was one of the finalists from 2023.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I could play it, but I think there's some other cooler illusions talk about and play first.
Yeah, for sure. So since this is a radio show, it makes sense to talk about the auditory illusions, and specifically the neuroscience of auditory illusions. So I think it's very interesting why illusions happen in the first place. And it all has to do with our brain trying to do its best and having to take shortcuts along the way. So throughout evolution, human beings, we kind of had to take a lot of shortcuts to be able to perceive as much as we can of our environment, given our limited sensory capabilities. And one very essential thing about the auditory sense to begin with is that we do not only use what we hear through our ears to be able to tell what we are hearing. In fact, our brain relies so much on visual input to kind of determine what we hear, and it will kind of also have a predictive effect. So if your brain predicts that it will hear something, more often than not, you will actually hear it, because that's typically like the ordinary thing that your brain is used to hearing all the time. Like if I say, if it's in the morning and I tell someone good and then blank, my brain will predict that there's morning coming after the good. And so it will make me hear it, even if that's not exactly what the person said, or if that person said something similar. Of course, this is not always the case. Like if someone says something drastically different, your brain will be able to pick up on it. But that is to say that our brain has so much predictive input on what we hear and what we're capable of hearing, and also the vision plays an important role with that. So do you remember when it was like a big social media thing, there were these two words that were said and they sounded very different, which is, I believe it was Yanny and Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that the mouth moves when these these sounds are made are very similar. But they are also distinctly different. So depending on what mouth shape you're perceiving, your brain is going to perceive something different being said, which is very interesting. And there's so many versions of that, that you can look up on YouTube, where you'll see like videos of people mouthing out words, and it's the same sound being replayed over and over again. But depending on what shape you focus on, you'll see something completely different. And same for reading. So if you're listening to, let's say, an audiobook and you're following along, your brain relies so much on what you're reading, way more than, let's say, what you're actually hearing. And that's why, have you guys noticed how during COVID it became so difficult for us to understand each other when we're wearing masks? And oftentimes we had to like lower our masks for a bit to be able to understand each other.
Yeah, so during COVID, I actually worked with a lot of pre-Parkinson's patients, and we did a lot of memory tests. And so a lot of the kind of tests that I did with them was verbal comprehension. So I would sometimes read words, and they would need to like repeat back to me things that I said. And so with the masks, it was really, really hard to do a lot of these verbal comprehension tests during COVID, because we do rely so heavily on visually seeing how people's mouth move when they're speaking. So it was really interesting going through COVID, as specifically like running neuropsychology tests with patients. That was really difficult.
Totally. Yeah, I can imagine. And most likely these patients cannot really be exposed, right? Like a lot of them might have compromised immune systems, and just generally being within the older population,
exactly,
it makes them way more susceptible. So that definitely must have introduced like a challenge to deal with.
Yeah.
I never really considered this either, but if your audition is declining, like your ability to hear is kind of going down as you age, especially in pre-Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you're probably subconsciously relying on like lip reading more than actually being able to hear someone. So,
and people that have compromised hearing too, like a lot of them being able to have a conversation is actually just reading lips, not hearing what people are saying. Because I know there are people who are fully deaf who can read lips.
Oh, totally. Yeah. That's totally a thing. It shows that our brain is capable of kind of predicting what sound you're making just by visual input.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a very important thing that is used in the design of things like hearing aids or other forms of accessibility devices that help people, is that without a proper understanding of how our brain kind of interprets these signals, we might not be designing something that is very helpful for the people who are using them. And oftentimes, like, because our brain naturally integrates multiple sensory modalities for us to understand things around us, we definitely need to take that into consideration when building such devices. And potentially we'd have to also integrate different sensory modalities into their design to begin with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's one interesting and very, very popular auditory illusion, and it's called the Shepherd's Stone. And you must have seen it somewhere on social media. And if you have it, we will play it to you in a minute. But essentially, it was developed by a neuroscientist who was interested in studying audition in the brain. And it's a combination of different sine waves with different frequencies that slowly seem to increase in frequency, and then they're overlaid with sound waves that are decreasing in frequency. But because of the way it is overlaid, and because of our brain's limitations on the frequencies that we can hear, we kind of hear it as a sound that's constantly just going up, like a tone that's constantly going up in frequency. We don't hear it coming down or cycling. And it's a very interesting trick or illusion that we kind of deal with in like the different things that we can hear. And actually, a lot of artists have used that illusion as well in some of their songs to give a sense of a buildup. And it's also used a lot in horror movies. So you know how when they're building up the suspense for a scene, and you'll often hear it kind of like a very creepy violin sound that is slowly increasing in intensity.
Yeah. It is very uneasy. Like it makes me feel kind of queasy. I'm like,
absolutely.
Yeah. And this off.
What's interesting is that they use auditory illusions to make you feel even more scared. Yes, you personally, they're targeting you. and they do that because they want you to kind of have the sense that it's just, it keeps going up and it keeps going up. And a lot of the times it's just an illusion. So the sound is not actually going up all the time. It's just this complex combination of different sine waves that are put together in a way to trick your brain, based on your brain's limited capabilities.
Yeah.
So
I know Hans Zimmer uses it a lot in his music for like soundtrack music for different movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
the really intense ones. Dark Knight, it's, you can hear it a lot there. And you can look it up. So songs or audio that uses the shepherd's tone, you can look it up and you'd be able to find something.
Yeah. We'll play a quick snippet.
Yeah, of the shepherd's tone. Down, right?
Like infinitely.
Infinitely going down.
But it's not actually going down. It's the same notes cycling over and over, but it just sounds like it's forever going down.
Yeah, maybe let's mute ourselves so they can hear it.
Okay, that made me uncomfortable, so I decided to stop it.
Yeah.
Big sense of impending doom.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see why they use it in horror movies, right? Like, it gives you this very uneasy feeling. It's like, when is this going to stop? And it feels kind of endless, and it feels kind of eerie. But they have used it in songs, actually. And there are some songs that are named after this. Mm-hmm. I believe there is a song with a title called The Shepherd's Stone or something like this. Or a song that's called Always Ascending or Always Descending. So we'll put these songs for you guys also in a bit. But basically, yeah, that's one example of the shepherd tone at work. And it's very interesting, because the way it works is that our brain can hear only between 20 hertz and 20,000 hertz. And so whenever a sound is beginning to cross that threshold, either all the way down or all the way up, your brain kind of deals with it in a very weird way. And that's kind of how the illusion takes place, where you kind of hear it as one continuous downfall, even though the reality of the signal is that it's actually clipping a lot, and it's kind of cycling over and over the same tone.
Yeah, so Noor, you can play some of those songs on that computer if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. what's the first one called that, you know, uses the shepherd's tone? Oh, okay. We will play some of those for you in a bit, but before we play some more of the shepherd's tone to kind of lighten the mood a little bit, I want to play you guys another auditory illusion called Mystery Melody. You can look this up on YouTube really easily, but essentially kind of the gist of this is that you can hear a scramble of notes in a song that's, you know, very well, and have no idea what the song is. But once you've heard the song played for you and you hear that scramble of notes again, you immediately hear the song in the scramble of notes. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's like due to the brain priming effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here, I'll play it for you.
Welcome to auditory illusion number 4. You're going to need a pair of No, you're not. You can just listen through your speakers. You're going to hear a mysterious melody, a well-known tune where all of the notes are correct, but they've been scattered randomly across 3 different octaves. See if you can identify what these well-known tunes are before hearing the normal version. Here we go. It's quite tricky, isn't it? Here is an unscrambled version of the same melody. And now, if we listen to the scrambled version again, it will be actually quite obvious what the tune is. When I first came across this illusion, I was very, very keen to be able to identify the tunes before.
Yeah, so
that was wild.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
That is so interesting. I don't think I would have been able to guess what this song is if, like, before. And it's crazy how my brain just quickly, like,
yeah,
latched onto this melody that I know.
Yeah,
and just
right?
made me hear that.
I guess the intervals don't match at all, but you kind of, like, you're, like, template matching in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
like, the intervals are kind of there, but also, like, you know the song's off, but you could still recognize the melody inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think, yeah, that's another example of, I guess, your brain using expectations to, as Noor said, like, pattern complete. And yeah, that's pretty great. There's another one that I like, but you can't really use, like, you kind of need some sort of, like, stereo audition to hear it properly, but it's used pretty common if you've ever worn headphones in your life. But it's the idea that, so if you're listening to music and, the artist wants it to appear as if, like, a sound is louder in the left ear, or it's, like, switching between the left and right ear. That's actually not a volume thing. That's basically just modifying the timing of the signal.
Mm.
So basically, and the reason is as follows. Basically, when you're trying to localize a sound, it's going to come from a specific direction, like, probably not in front of you, but, like, let's say it's coming from all the way to your left side. So the sound's going to reach your left ear before it reaches your right ear. And because sound doesn't travel instantaneously, it travels at about 343 meters per second. There's going to be a slight delay between the sound reaching both of your ears, which means that there's going to be a bit of a phase difference in the sound wave that's, like, appearing. And so what these songs try to do when they're trying to make it seem as if sound is louder in one ear or another is they're mimicking this, like, very specific time difference, which is, like, I don't know, the width of your head in the diameter of your head in meters over 343 meters per second.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're mimicking this time difference to make it seem as if like, sound's coming from one earphone or another.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a very good example of an auditory illusion, and it uses kind of the inbuilt ability in our brains that is made to do a certain task, like how we locate sounds around us by the time delay between our ears, and they use these interesting things that we know about the brain to create an illusion of something that isn't really there, which is quite cool and quite awesome for entertainment purposes. So I found a song that is called Always Ascending, which is quite fitting, and it's by the band Franz Ferdinand, and it utilizes the shepherd tone illusion, so we're gonna play that for you right now.
Feeling the emotions, feeling thirsty. Bring me a You think you're transcending, always and always and always ascending. Pause the progression, but I
So you just heard Franz Ferdinand, and Always Ascending, that's using the shepherd's tone that we talked about earlier, which was really fun. It was like, because that was not the creepy kind of intense use of the shepherd's tone that we see in like Hans Zimmer soundtracks for horror movies and suspenseful movies. It's actually like a really fun bop that you could dance to. So that was really cool,
yeah.
Kind of seeing how you can use it in different ways. I really like that. Thanks.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to know it's not a big and scary thing most of the time.
Yeah. But it has a profound effect, I think.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. Another illusion, which is actually interesting because it depends, the way you hear it depends on whether or not you're right-handed or left-handed.
Oh, cool.
Which is very interesting. And it was discovered by Diana Deutsch in 1973, and it's called the octave illusion or Deutsch's octave illusion. And the idea is that it has two tones, one with a higher pitch and one with a lower pitch, that play in our ears in an alternating fashion. And if it alternates fast enough, then we are able to hear one higher tone on one ear and the lower tone on the other ear. And depending on whether or not you're right-handed or left-handed, your brain will hear the tone on like one ear and the lower tone on the other ear.
Even if you don't have headphones in?
I believe it works even if you don't have headphones in, but we can try it and see what happens. But it should work even if you don't have headphones in, because your brain kind of selects.
Yeah. And luckily our radio station, like these monthly radio shows are recorded, so you can always go back to ckot.com or .ca and re-listen to this with headphones, and if you're like super curious about it.
Yeah, or look it up yourself.
Yeah, that too.
So actually, where we're gonna hear this is gonna be in a Daft Punk song called Aerodynamic. So we're gonna start playing it, and if you watch out closely, you'll start hearing two tones. They're one octave apart, and try and see which ear you hear the higher tone and which ear you hear the lower tone. If you're with a friend that is like, let's say you're right-handed and your friend is left-handed, maybe try and compare and see like which tone you hear it from.
Cool. Are you any of you guys left-handed here, or are we all right-handed?
I think I'm left-handed.
Right-handed.
You're left-handed.
Yeah.
Okay, this should be interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll discuss after. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, debrief.
Yes, let's debrief.
Okay, that was fire. First of all, that tickled the inside of my skull.
I love Daft Punk.
I really like that.
Good. Yeah, that song is from their Discovery album. It's a really good album. You should listen to it.
Okay, so I'm left-handed.
Okay.
I think I heard the lower tone in my right, in my left ear.
That, okay. What about you?
I also heard the lower tone in my left ear and the higher tone in my right ear.
I heard the higher tone in my right ear, too.
Okay, so maybe I'm a fake lefty. I don't know.
Yeah.
But is it because the auditory... Okay, I don't remember. Auditory cortex is on the left side? Or is that just language? Is auditory...
Language. It's on both.
Okay.
I think one side processes speech, the other process speech production, and the other one processes like speech comprehension.
Oh, no, wait. That's on the... That's on the...
Because Broca's area...
That's on the left side. Renekes, or right. Left side for right-handed people, right? That, but it's all on the same side, right? Like, Broca and Wernicke's Erica are both on the same side.
Are they? I think... I'm not sure, actually. Wow.
Ooh, I have input from the listeners, and the boyfriend heard it the other way. Thanks for...
Oh, wow. Is Sam left-handed or right-handed?
Nice.
He's right-handed.
Okay.
High tone and left ear, yeah. So, okay, that makes me feel cool that someone else heard it differently. So.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what that means about, like, the way you think about other things, or if it's just purely the way you hear sound.
Yeah, it could be. So, they roughly said that it differs between left-handed and right-handed people, but maybe since the discovery was made in 1973, maybe perhaps since then they came to realize that it maybe not doesn't have to do with that. Maybe it's a bit more complicated than that.
Yeah.
It has to do with how your brain is wired to interpret sounds, or which... Maybe one side of your brain is kind of allocated to interpret the lower frequencies and the other side, the higher frequencies.
Apparently, what makes this illusion in the brain is it's like a top-down process. So this is, it's beyond the level of the auditory cortex. So it happens... again, what you were saying before about our experiences and our expectations kind of filling in gaps. So I don't really know the neural mechanisms of this, though.
That's the same thing that we saw with that other auditory illusion that I played, where you hear like "Ode to Joy" after like over the random sequence. It is top down processing as well, and that's also. Like, if you guys remember the internet fad about the dress that was either white and gold or blue and black.
Oh, yeah.
People who see white and gold were using top-down processing because that's using previous knowledge. Like, we know how things look with shadows. And so, to us, it looked like it was in the shadows and that it was gold and white. But to other people, they saw it. They used down-up processing, which is the senses, not... like previous knowledge. And so the dress is actually blue and black.
Okay.
But so people who saw blue and black were using down up processing. They were using their senses, their perception of the object itself, and that's what they were seeing. But people like me, who can only see the gold and white, are using top down processing. So we're using those like previous knowledge and experiences.
Consciously, right?
No, it's totally subconscious.
So then how, what do you have to do to help your bottom-up processing or your top-down processing win?
I have no idea. I mean, I have heard of people that say that they've been able to see both. I physically am unable. I can only see gold and white.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I've tried. I cannot see black and blue, even though that's the real color. Yeah.
There's no way, because I can only see it as black and blue, and I cannot see it as
white. I can only see it as white and gold.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it sounds like, Allie, you and I are using our reasoning
and our previous experiences
and learnings about the world.
Yeah, and
I don't know what you're doing, Noor.
I am sensing the world accurately.
There's some merit to that.
There you go.
Fine.
So I guess now would be a good time to take a music break where we don't try to trick people, maybe. And then after the break, we can talk about the talking piano illusion, or it's the illusion that our brain is super primed basically to perceive audio that we hear as if it's human speech. And so if we hear something that resembles it or resembles the frequencies of human speech, our brain will kind of process it as if it was human speech, which is very interesting. We'll get back to it after the break, and during the break we're gonna hear a song.
Yeah, so I want to play a song called Dopamine by Madeline, I don't know, but it's the French version.
Uh-huh.
I like this song. I also like that it's called Dopamine because it's related to neuroscience and feminism.
Nice.
So that was
But everyone thinks dopamine is like happy drug.
Yeah.
Or like only happy drug.
There's so many others.
Yeah. Everyone, yeah, I keep serotonin. Seeing people getting it tattooed on their bodies. I'm like, you don't know what that think it means.
Yeah, guys, rethink your tattoos.
Yeah.
Special credit to Miss Effort, the mere princess.
Profit the spectacle.
Le sommet m'échappe au petit matin. Je t'ai dit y'a bien trop, mais c'est pas la fin. Bien perdu dans le confort. Tout me rend un peu folle. Elle s'apprend trop ou d'effort. Tous mes secrets, même les bien cachés. J'avoue, tu me connais, mais que je me connais. C'est bien chouette, mais j'ai pensé. Si toi, tu te barres, à quel point je changerai. Tout ce que je veux, mais rien dont j'ai besoin. Enfin, je déteste comment t'envahis ma tête. Du moment où je me réveille, au fond que je m'endorme. Je veux ma D-O-P-A-M-I-N-E. Faut que je pense que je suis en contrôle. Tu me sers un cocktail qui me rend folle. Bien perdu dans le confort. Est-ce que tu me lèves ou rabaisses sans remords? Tu es tout ce que je veux. Mais rien dont j'ai besoin. Enfin, je déteste comment t'envahis ma tête. Du moment où je me réveille, au fond que je m'endorme. Je veux ma D-O-P-A-M-I-N-E.
You are listening to CKUT.ca, 90.3 FM. This is STEMinism. It's Friday evening, January 19th, 2024, at 5:40 p.m. You just heard Dopamine, but the French version, by Madeline. And we're currently talking about auditory and visual illusions and kind of a little bit of the science and neuroscience about it. Thank you so much for joining us. We're really happy to be here. Thanks.
Absolutely. We're very happy to be here, and we're very happy to talk about the talking piano. And this is an illusion that makes use of the fact that your brain is kind of primed to interpret human speech.
And this one's cool.
The way that people achieve this effect is by making a piano or any other instrument speak. And the way they do this is that they approximate human speech by converting it to fundamental frequencies. And then after they convert human speech to fundamental frequencies, they play the instrument notes to match these frequencies and reconstruct kind of the structures of the human speech. And then you can kind of hear the instrument talking. And there is a great example of this in the Daft Punk song, another Daft Punk song, because they're experts of the audio realm. So you can actually hear a lot of allusions in their music. But this one song called Robot Rock, you can actually hear the guitar chords kind of talking to you as if they are singing the lyrics. And they did that by basically, as I said, reconstructing the fundamental frequencies of human speech using the sounds of the instrument. I'm gonna play Robot Rock.
It's a fucking great name.
Yeah.
I've heard some of the like piano speech ones, and honestly, sometimes they sound really creepy.
Nightmare stuff.
Honestly, like a lot of auditory illusions, even visual illusions, can be kind of creepy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's very true.
But in Audition, it's like there's no face to it. So it's a little bit more ambiguous and a little bit just more daunting, I think.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, getting ready to play. Okay, so you have just heard Robot Rock by Daft Punk, and I heard it. I don't know if you guys heard it, but it really felt like the guitar was kind of talking, or at least it sounded eerily human-like in the sounds that it was making, because what Daft Punk did is they matched the frequencies that the guitar was producing to the fundamental frequencies that resemble human speech and kind of gave it the same structure of human speech.
Yeah, it was like it almost like we were talking while the song was playing, but it almost sounded a little bit like someone talking into one of those microphones that changes the way your voice sounds, like in like the movies and stuff. Like, yeah. It sounded a little bit, it definitely sounded like a person, but like their speech had been altered, but it did sound not guitar.
Yeah, like when you hear it first, you don't think first that that's a guitar. Or you do think it's a guitar, but you're like,
whoa. You're like, whoa.
I wasn't sure if we were supposed to understand language from this. So at first language? I was listening to it, and I was like, what is he saying?
I mean, if you heard something, I'd love to know what you heard.
Oh, no, it's just the voices in my head. Don't worry. But is this, I mean, this is not really an illusion, but I guess, is it related to, like, you know, seeing faces and everything and piles of clothes in the corner of your room
yeah.
when you're trying to sleep at all, I guess.
It is. Like, it is related.
The fact that, like, speech and faces are so salient for us that we just kind of...
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. We are social creatures and our brains, for the sake of our survival, are primed for us to be able to recognize other human beings, to understand other human beings. And so that's why we have an area in our brain that only lights up when we see faces and yeah. nothing else, because we are primed to look for faces. And same thing for hearing. There's a specific circuit in our brain that is activated when we are hearing sounds that sound very similar to human speech.
So an interesting point about, so Noor's talking about for vision, for the face area, it's called the fusiform face area. I think there's some evidence to show that this isn't only four faces, it's an expert area kind of. So I think maybe car guys or something in their fusiform face area, they're going to have their neurons in their fusiform face area are going to respond to cars.
Like things that you really like.
Yeah, or things that you've just spent so much time looking at and mastering and stuff. So it's just basically about how your brain's wired, like what experiences you've gone through in your life. And
that's actually true. We actually just learned about this in my functional neuroanatomy class yesterday, where that area, the fusiform face area, will light up for people that have really intense hobbies. Uh-huh. So for people who are bird watchers, and know all these details about how to identify different birds, like that part of the brain that lights up when you see faces lights up in the exact same way, same patterns when they see these birds that they're when they're bird watching.
I wonder if that means are they worse at recognizing faces if that area of the brain
is being
known?
I think it's just that you recognize something so well that it's using similar pathways to recognize. I mean, especially when it comes to bird watching, birds have faces in a sense too, right? I would imagine that your brain already has these amazing pathways in place, that it's probably a good idea for it to use these already great pathways to remember other things, right? It's not going to create a whole new pattern.
Yeah.
To remember something that you are passionate about and you know a lot about, right? So
absolutely, yeah. Our brain is very efficient. It likes to take a lot of shortcuts. Mm-hmm. If it sees that, remembering faces is close enough to remembering birds, I'm going to use the same tools for that. So thank you everyone for listening to us ramble on about auditory illusions and visual illusions. As people who study neuroscience, we're very interested in the science behind the topic and why they happen, and we hope that we piqued your interest as well.
I wanted to add one little quick thing about really quickly before we go off about ending the show, but to talk about the seeing faces type thing and the hearing voices. So I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Lewy body dementia. It's something that a lot of people with Parkinson's get. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about Lewy body dementia is that people will often get these really intense fixed beliefs or delusions sometimes. But interestingly, a lot of these delusions are related to hallucinations. Mm-hmm. And so people living with Lewy body dementia will make a lot of errors in perception, but the big one is seeing faces. So they can see faces in carpet patterns. And one test that we would do for Lewy body dementia at my old lab is we would show people these, images that were just black and white, kind of ink blobs almost.
Uh-huh. So and kind of the ink blots they use in psychology tests.
Yeah, but some of them had very distinct faces, and we would ask them to point out the faces that they saw. And if someone was likely showing symptoms of Lewy body dementia, they would see hundreds of faces everywhere. And most images didn't have any faces, but some of them would have one, and they would see 15 on that page.
Wow.
On that page.
That's
crazy.
Terrifying.
And then we would do a DAT scan and see if they actually did have Lewy body dementia. But it's interesting because these processes are important for us to function and perceive, but they can also be detrimental as you get older or get different neurological diseases and stuff. And it's interesting to think about.
Does that just mean that your pattern recognition system is just overstimulated?
It
does it mean it's working better?
Maybe it's overworking, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe overcompensating for other things that are going wrong. I'm not really sure. But yeah, sorry for the little sidetrack, but thank you so much for tuning in. We have to end the show a little bit early today, but we appreciate you listening in. This is STEMinism with CKUT.ca 90.3 FM. We have an Instagram. It's STEMinism.CKUT on Instagram. Follow us if you like. DM us if there's anything you want us to talk about specifically or anyone you want us to interview.
Yeah, we love taking requests.
Yeah. We would love that. We would just love that.
Totally, yes.
Thanks for joining us on our journey. We're going to play a song called Neptune by Foals. Have a good night.
Once everything's perfectly organized, I'll start working on my thesis.
Listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to another edition of La Hora del Ruido. My name is Jose Podrido and you are listening to CKUT 90.3. Today I'm going to be playing a quick set list of new releases that I came across lately. The first song comes out of a demo from a band from Indonesia called Ox. This song is called Metode Adiksi. We'll be right back.